Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. We're going to notice, to begin tonight, verses 27 and 28. Deuteronomy 3, verses 27 and 28. Moses, at this point, has reached the end of his life. He has broken the commandment of God by striking the rock twice. Been told that he and Aaron will not be allowed to enter into the land of Canaan. Although he would not be able to enter, God does allow him to see it. So if you will begin reading with me in verse 27. It says, "Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." I want to talk to us tonight a little bit about turnover, so to speak, in the Lord's people. Here we have Moses at the end of his life turning the reins over, so to speak, to Joshua. So let's take a few moments and look at this a little bit closer. Let's ask a few questions. When might you be ready to turn over your position to someone else? Are we preparing younger Christians to take the reins when we're no longer able to lead effectively? You see, God addresses these questions right here in Deuteronomy, some 1,400 years before the church was ever established by Jesus Christ dying upon the cross. So let's consider the turnover from Moses to Joshua. And there may be different reasons for turnover, as we'll notice. But first of all, why is Moses having to turn over the reins of leadership? Well, one of the causes of turnover, and one of the most prevalent causes, of course, is death. One passes from this life into the next, and so he must be ready to hand the reins over. You see, Moses was still just a man. Moses was going to die. Death will come to all men. It will come to us all. God had been with Moses, but Moses was still human. He's going to pass away soon. As we read in Matthew 17 and 3 through 5, we see there that Moses, of course, was not worthy of worship. Jesus being upon the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter wanting to build three tabernacles, one for Christ, of course, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And of course, at that point, we hear the voice of God, or they heard the voice of God saying, "Here, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him." Not Moses, not Elijah, but Jesus Christ. Only he, as far as a man goes, is worthy of our worship. Moses, of course, was not perfect. He had sinned. Death was inevitable. But here we have this treasure, this gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, our physical bodies. And friends, we know that our bodies are limited. We know that the time is going to come that we will draw our last breath. That's by design. That's by God's design. So what are you and I doing now to prepare ourselves to leave this earth? We need to be prepared for that. We talked about four things that the Christian ought to be able to say this morning. Well, friends, are you prepared if that day were to come now? To hand those reins of whatever you may do in the Lord's church, are you ready to hand that off to someone else? Have you done anything to train someone in that way? To study with them so that they will be ready to be more active in the Lord's church? Friends, we must prepare others to take our places. Death is one reason for turnover among the Lord's people. Another reason is, of course, disagreements. Hopefully, when it comes to these disagreements, hopefully it's on the matters of liberty. Disagreements, and we look throughout the brotherhood, and disagreements have caused numerous divisions, numerous splits among congregations. And friends, when that happens, we've got to shore up leadership. We need strong leaders for that reason. But I want us to notice too, friends, that not all disagreements are sinful. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. I want you to begin reading with me in verse 36. Acts 15, beginning in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren and unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Here was an occasion in which Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. Barnabas wanted to take his cousin, John Mark, along. Paul said no. And the reason for that was because John Mark had turned back once before. He had come along with them to go into the mission field. John Mark had decided, for whatever reason, that he wasn't cut out for that, and so he went home. And so when it was time to go again, Barnabas said, "Let's give him another chance." Paul said, "No, he's abandoned us once before. Who's to say he's not to do it again? He's not going with me." And the disagreement became so sharp that they had to go their separate ways. Barnabas took John Mark. Paul took Silas. But what do we notice here, friends, as they went their separate ways? Notice again verse 39. "And the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus." They went and they continued to preach the gospel. And over on this side, Paul, verse 40, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren of the grace of God." Verse 41, "He went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Even though they had come to a disagreement as to who to take with them on this second mission trip, this other mission trip here, what did they do? They still went. And they preached the gospel to twice as many people, most likely. Not all disagreements are sinful. Here we have, in this particular instance, God was glorified even in their disagreement because they split up to go and do separate mission work. Now, two times the work is being done. But friends, when this happens among the Lord's churches, we must be ready and willing to fill the gap. We must constantly be training others to do their part and to learn others' parts so that those when people depart from this life, or when they move away, or whatever the case may be, we've got somebody ready to fill that gap. As Moses had trained Joshua, we must be training others. Another reason for turnover in the Lord's people may be for doctrinal reasons. And friends, when that happens, it's a sad, sad day. When a faithful servant of the Lord makes the decision to turn his back on God, we must act on that unrighteous decision. We can't allow it to sit and to fester, so to speak. We must confront our brother who is in sin, and if he does not repent, we must discipline him as the Bible calls for us to do, and in that, God is glorified. Notice, if you ever notice, as you read through the book of Acts, what happened in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. They had lied unto the apostles, and by doing so had lied unto God, and so they were punished, they were disciplined, they were struck down, they were dead, they were struck dead. But we read immediately after that point, after they had been disciplined by God, what happened? The church grew. The church grew. God had met this head on, and when that happened, the church grew. And at the very least, the church then, when that happens, when a person has to be disciplined by the congregation, at the very least, that church is going to grow spiritually. Friends, when we deal with members who are in sin in the correct manner, as God has put forth in His Word, when we deal with members who are in sin correctly, then we provoke more glory to God by doing His will. And so in that way, God can use the sins of others to magnify His will and purpose, but only if we act on it righteously. Friends, the bottom line is this, and we'll leave you with this thought. God wants His people prepared for turnover. Are we prepared for such? I want you to notice with me Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What's the point of that? Friends, there is a time for us to be able to teach others and to lead others. If we have that ability and we have that knowledge, we must be ready and willing and doing so even now, teaching others concerning the Word of God, so that we do not leave our future generations without leaders. It's important, fathers, that we teach our sons what they must do in order to be good husbands and fathers and leaders in the Lord's church. For without them, where's the church going? We've got to be fostering this leadership now. Now is the time to be teaching our young men and our young women to be leaders in the church. The young women or older women ought to be teaching the younger women how to be good wives, good mothers, and teaching the children what needs to be done. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul admonishes Timothy there to commit unto faithful men the things that he had been taught, so that they may in turn go and teach others. Friends, are we doing that? Are we teaching those that are faithful in God's Word, faithful and true to God, the things that they need to know so that they can be effective leaders as the future comes? God wants His people prepared for turnover. And these future leaders must not only be trained, but tested. We read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 concerning the eldership. Friends, what are we to do? We must be ready for turnover. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. What are we doing to prepare for others to take over our works when we pass from this life? What are you doing to prepare yourself to do the works God has ordained in His kingdom? Friends, the church is an educational agency. It's God's educational agency. And we must all be working to not only do the work assigned to us, and to do it, but to do it better and more effectively, and also to teach others who will come after us, so that they might be able to do those same works and then teach those following them. Friends, without training our children and new converts, the church dies out in one generation. We've got several things going on here at 9th and Main in an attempt to train our young people how to lead in the Lord's church. We have our college group getting together every Monday night. We teach them again on Wednesday night. We have our young men right now getting together on Thursday nights in a leadership class, trying to prepare them for the future. But friends, we must do so individually as well. To allow the church to die out because of a lack of training, friends, would be a great shame. We are human. We are limited. But God has seen fit for us to be led on earth by human men, and human men will not be here forever. Older men, please, teach the younger men. Older women, we beg of you, teach the younger women. The church of our Lord is worth our efforts to do more and to do it better and to never let it go undone, even when you and I leave this earth. If you have a need to begin, if you have a need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend, why not this evening? Get busy in the work of the Lord. Jesus tells us what we must do to be saved, that we must believe on Him, repent of our sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin. Are you willing to do so this evening? Friend, or do you have a need to get back to work as a Christian? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you roll up your sleeves and get back to work and glorify our Father in heaven? Friend, if you have a need, won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?